All right. In 3, 2, 1, and we're rolling. Hello and welcome to the Walk Off Subway series, folks. For those of you who are not aware, the Walk Off has the Walk Off Mariners. So we're the flagship station here, covering the Blue Jays. I'm Scott Belford, joined by the host of the Walk Off Mariners, Juan Forno. And buddy, did your boys ever save themselves a series here today?
It could not have been more last minute. And the announcer said some, I don't know if you were probably watching that Buck Martinez, but I had it on like the Mariners side. And they were saying, put an asterisk next to that play by Polanco in the bottom of the ninth, right? Because that ball drops, that's game over, right? You don't even get a
Yeah.
chance in the 10th. So you got to give your flowers to Gilbert there, Polanco in the ninth. And then the offense finally figuring it out, man. They mean they scored more runs in the 10th inning than they did all series, I think. 3-2. Yeah. Before today's home run, that solo shot, like it's bad, dude. The offense is bad, but thank goodness we snuck out of there with one.
So we are going to break right into this series, and I'm excited to do this, man, because we haven't really had this like cross podcast, even though we're both carrying the walk-off name here. We've got some big plans for the Seattle series here, which we'll probably let the cat out of the bag as we get a little bit further into this thing. But let's start with the fact that this was a series against 2-4 and 6 teams. Two teams, the parallels actually between the Mariners and the Blue Jays going into this season is pretty comparable in that these are both very good pitching teams. The starting rotations of both these organizations are impressive, and I know you probably haven't seen the length and the fervor of what you saw last year with that Seattle rotation, but this is what Seattle's built on, right? I know the Blue Jays are defense and pitching. Safe to say the same on the Mariners side of things.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what they're going for sure. Especially if you look at T-Mobile Park, it's not a hitter-friendly place. Mutual friend Teoscar Hernandez came out and said that he couldn't see in Seattle, and you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but then when you look at those road versus home splits, and it's like, oh no, he might be right because the numbers would suggest he's hitting terribly at home, and that has no problem doing what he's been doing and it's known to do as a professional hitter. On the road, and you're right. Seattle is a very pitching first team, much like those Jays are, and like you guys have, figured out that rotation. Even if Manoah is not what you guys were hoping he would be, or if he's not there this point in this early in the season, but the bullpen is good, the starting rotation is good. They haven't really lived up to expectations, especially Luis Castillo on the front end. But we got a good one from Kirby, and then we've got two good ones from Gilbert. Bryce Miller looked fantastic, and Brian Woo is still set to return probably in a couple weeks. So I don't want to jump to conclusions, but you're right. These 4-6 teams coming into the series were very evenly matched. And even the games that the Mariners lost, it was 5-3, 5-2. It wasn't like, they were out of it. They just couldn't score a fucking run.
Two teams that are looking to get back to the wild card again, or at least the wild card, at least the wild card. I know that you look at the AL West with where the Mariners are at, and I mean, where do you see them fitting into that division? Are you confident that they are contenders for a wild card this year?
I think if you look at the roster top to bottom, and if they stay healthy, which is always a big caveat with any team, your health is your best asset when you bring in all these players. I don't think the division is out of reach based off of the strength of that rotation and that bullpen. There's a lot of guys that were waiting to come back, and Matt Brash and Santos from the White Sox acquisition. There's no reason they can't win this division. There's no reason they can't be, a 96 win team, honestly. But a lot has to go right. And I think there's some guys like Ty France and Dom Canzone and Rojas that are actually outperforming expectations. Everybody else just needs to get up to speed. Julio, JP, Cal. Cal finally did some today. Yeah, I mean, I would love
Kyle
for the
Rowley gets
Jays.
no love from Blue Jays fans, and nor should he. He has been the
Dude
biggest
loves
Blue
it.
Jays killer of the last, like, his name gives me nightmares. Like I hear dumper anywhere and I'm like, no, not again. Like it can't be happening again, right? Like big
you're
dumper
not even
coming
gonna
up
be
big
able to look
again.
at dump trucks,
Oh
man.
my God, man.
No, good team. I would love for these guys to play in the ALCS and for us to fly out to Toronto or Seattle and watch game seven together, you know? And it's not out of the realm of possibilities. I think Ohtani being gone is a fantastic help. I don't think the Yankees are, you know, that good to the point where they're just worlds ahead of everybody else. Houston has their flaws. Texas has their flaws. I mean, their pitching is not that good. And I understand they got some kids in Langford and Carter. And then, of course, they got their MVP caliber guys on Semien and Seager. But I guess we'll wait and see. You know, the Mariners haven't played them yet, and I don't think the Jays have either, right?
Nope, not yet.
No. And it's like, can the defense and pitching outweigh Texas's offense? You know, and if it can, there's a good chance that you could see the Jays Mariners. And it can. Yeah, you know, if you told me that Texas was a World Series team and DeGrom wouldn't pitch at all for them last year, I'd be like, no way.
Oh,
but
buddy,
you never know, man.
Eat my words so bad last year because I was like, Texas is not making the playoffs. As soon as they got into the playoffs, I was like, Texas is losing in the division series. Their bullpen sucks, right? No,
yeah.
Ate my words again. Went into the ALCS, and I was like, Texas can't match up with the pitching that Houston's going to throw out there. They've got no pen. And for the first time in a long time, man, like, a lack of a bullpen. I mean, Bruce Bochy was a genius out there, but honestly, man, like, you never know what's going to happen with these teams. And I like the way you framed it, though. Like, it wouldn't shock me if Texas just is a wild card team or just misses the playoffs. And everyone's like, their pitching never came together. Like, it is possible.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot to do with those TV deals and where you allocate those funds, right? Like, everybody's freaking out about where that TV revenue is going to come from, and now they're not spending like they did. And I mean, Texas went, you know, balls to the wall spending in Semien and then Seager and DeGrom and Scherzer, and you know they went after it for sure, man. So you know, eventually that coffer is going to dry up, much like it did in San Diego. So it's really going to come down to like, okay, how do you want to build out your roster? And Texas went more on the offensive side. And luckily, the Mariners and the Blue Jays have some homegrown talent that hasn't broken the bank yet. They haven't reached free agency, so they can allocate more on that pitching side of things and hope to keep the offense down. You know, and I will say this, Scott, it must be nice being a AL East fan as opposed to the AL West, because I'm pretty sure the AL West wins the World Series every fucking year, it feels like lately. With the goddamn Astros and Rangers, man, I'm sick of seeing these teams win. Get it out of the AL West, please.
Yeah.
Unless it's the Mariners.
You're the first one to ever say, you're so lucky to be in the AL East.
And who would have thought, right? Boston, Baltimore, Tampa, New York. Those are power franchises, regardless of how much they spend. You know, you
Both
can't knock
East
any
and
of
the
them.
West have been meat grinders the last couple of years. That is for sure.
Tough, man. That's tough. And like, luckily, like on our end, like, I will say this, like, overall division, you guys are East is probably better because you know we got the Triple A Athletics and the Double A Angels in the West, but it doesn't take from what's at the top and the success that the West has had lately.
No, and it is what's the best word? Deflating, knowing that the worst team in the AL West or in the AL East is the Boston Red Sox, who still have a very good team, man. I mean, they're not a bad team. Like, they're probably a 500 team. Like,
and I would be, and here's where we can agree and maybe mutually bash. I think the Boston Red Sox and any of the top three from the AL East, or sorry, from the AL West, would win the Central hands down, no problem.
Yes,
they would run away with it like they're the Dodgers.
Man, Tyler O'Neill kicking ass right now with the Red Sox is such a, like, dagger. I wanted the Jays to go out and take a flyer on him, and he wasn't expensive. Like, that was the thing, is the Sox were able to go out and get him for a couple minor league guys, right? One higher, like, mid-range even. I don't remember the name of the prospects, but they weren't those top 10 in the organization prospects that everyone's always after, right?
Right.
There were a couple no. pitching guys lower down in the rankings.
And he was like a change of scenery guy, and I think he's going to end up being the best fantasy waiver wire pickup that I've ever accomplished in my fantasy career, which is not very successful. He's crushing the ball, and he's hitting, and I think he leads the league with 6 home runs, if I'm not mistaken. I think he hit another one last night, so it might be 7.
He did.
It's great. It's great for baseball, and it's great for Boston, and I'm hoping that, you know, Boston can be there at the end of the season, right there with the Jays and Yankees, and potentially, you know, the whole division might be at 90 wins on 161, honestly, and they just spend all season beating the crap out of each other. No complaints here. That gives the West a better chance to lock up the one seed and avoid the wild card.
Yeah, no, truly.
Right, because the Central's not a concern all that much. You know, maybe Cleveland or Minnesota figure some out, but I want Boston to be good because I miss those days of like Alex Rodriguez versus Jason Varitek at home plate beating the crap out of each other. Like, I miss that in baseball, and not to promote violence, but I just miss that rivalry.
Yes,
and that it's fun. It's fun for baseball when you get that kind of rivalry.
I would say, and I think Yankees fans would even agree, that there is more of a hate on for the Blue Jays and Blue Jays fans between the Yankees and the Jays right now than there is the Red Sox. And it's just the Red Sox have been kind of a non-thought for the last few years. So that's the way it goes, right? Let's dive into this series, though. Blue Jays, Mariners. Jays take it 2-1. So close to a sweep. I'll start with the Jays here and just talk about the fact that Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson, former Mariner, right, have missed this beginning of the season. And I'll be honest, I didn't really notice them not being there until today. And buddy, after getting into the ninth, and Jimmy Garcia was a bad man today, buddy. He was hitting, he threw the fastest pitch he's ever thrown in his career at 99.8. So we're going to round up and call it 100. But this is a dude who's never hit triple digits, is in there hitting triple digits with run, with freaking curl on that fastball, was getting strikeouts. And I mean, the Mariners were already in swing mode. So just really disappointing from the Blue Jays standpoint to tie the game up with that Vladdy dinger, get into the eighth, rip through the meat of their order with Garcia on the mound there, get into the bottom of the ninth, load the bases. And then I think part of the reason that they lost is like, it was pretty deflating to just like be that close.
Yeah, right there. I mean, you guys almost won in the bottom of the ninth by inches, right? I mean,
by inches.
Inches. You know, that ball is squeezed out, you know, 6 more inches, and that's ball game. I was impressed by Yimi there. I didn't know that he was a triple digit guy. I did see that pitch. It showed 100 on the screen, so I'm sure they rounded up at MLB as well. and he looked good. You know, it does suck when you have a setup guy and a closer out at the same time. We're going through that too. A little bit. Luckily, we have Munoz and a little bit more depth in the bullpen, of course. And they prioritize that. That's tough. You know, you don't know for sure what the outcome would have been. You don't know for sure that Swanson or Romano would have fared any better. The history would suggest they probably would have. But, you know, there is a reason that you don't go 60 saves or 60 opportunities every season. You don't know when you're going to get bit or, you know, have a tough matchup or, you know, some dude just hits 6-for-7 career against you, and for some reason he just gets how to hit you. It's that, but that's part of it, right? You know, getting these guys healthy and keeping them healthy. So loved not seeing Romano or Swanson. Side caveat, I hope everything with Swanson and his family and his little boy are going better. I know it's headed in that right direction last I read, so just want to give Swanson a shout out because that shit's horrible. You never want to see
absolutely. Toby Swanson, man, the Blue Jays fans like rallied around that so much, buddy. Like it's nice when bad shit happens.
Bigger than baseball.
Exactly.
It's bigger than baseball.
It's
That's,
bigger
you
than
know, it's,
baseball. That's a great, that's exactly what it was. It was bigger than baseball, and everyone kind of put that aside and just rallied around the Swanson family, which was very cool. So, and he's out of the hospital on the upswing, looking like a go-getter little boy again. So,
There we
great
go.
news on that front.
He'll be fielding ground balls with Bo in no time.
That's right. That's right. So to get back to the game, Tim Mayza comes out, who honestly, dude, he has been so lights out for this team over the last 3 years. I mean, truly, in my opinion, and I mean, I am biased here as a Jays fan, but one of the more underrated lefties in Major League Baseball. I mean, you just look at his numbers from the last 3 years and he just doesn't get his flowers, but he has not had the velo that he has had over the last 3 years since spring started. It's not way down, but it's 3 miles an hour slower, right? It's just down enough where
That's
guys are lining
noticeable.
up as fast. I mean, we watched Cal Raleigh sit all over that, right? Like, he
And I mean, I
hammered.
was surprised to see that Tim had like a 1.65 last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Roughly. And I was like, damn, like that's lights out. And from the left
Yeah.
side, like what more can you ask for from a lefty specialist out of the
1.0 whip, right? Like, just
Yeah, it's
you can't ask for better.
I mean, I will say this, Cal put a great swing on that ball. He doesn't hit a whole lot of home runs from the right side, so that was that much more impressive.
Which is why
And
they
it
turned
really
him around.
was
I
like
guarantee that's why they went with Mesa
100%,
and didn't send
100%.
Jimmy back out there, right? Like, because
These guys
Jimmy's
do that to
pitch
Cal
count
all the
was at
time.
like 15. Yeah. So,
Yeah, all the time. Cal gets that all the time because his power splits are so drastic, left to right. You know, it just he ran into one. I think you guys probably made the right decision in the bullpen. And then the wheels fell off a little bit today, but
yeah.
yeah, I mean, he still got 2 out of 3, so I'm still bitter.
I
Had a bit
mean,
of sweep, maybe I would have no-showed like Adam. I don't know.
yeah, we are waiting on Adam Mack here. He did say he'd show up here, so we're gonna try and let him in when he shows up. But if not, this is great. This is
Yeah,
fine.
we'll make it work.
We'll make it work.
What'd you think about
Juan,
Logan?
yeah, I was just gonna get into that. Literally,
Okay,
my next sentence was going to be, Juan, Logan Gilbert killed me
yeah.
today. Like, the dude was nails. He gave you some length, which is something that the Mariners have been struggling to get out of their starting rotation. I know that you've already used your bullpen probably more than you would want to in the first 2 weeks of a
Exhausting.
season. Yeah.
Yeah.
How much do you buy in that Logan Gilbert, this is him? This is who he is this
Oh, I'm
season,
fully sold.
2024. You're all in?
Yeah, I'm all in, man. Especially if you see him at the end of last year and even like his whole year last year. I think he had like a 3.3, 3.4 throughout the year. He was a workhorse, he was healthy. And I think like we kind of saw and expected this offseason for him to take that next leap to A status, you know. And we weren't sure, you know, Jordy and like my co-host Jordy and me went back and forth and it was like, is it Castillo? Is it Kirby? Is it Gilbert? Who's it gonna be? But it could conceivably be any of those three. And I do think we're getting the real Logan Gilbert now. He was, you know, corners all day, all his off-speed stuff was
Man,
working,
he
and he
was
just made one
painting
bad pitch.
today.
He just made
Painting
one bad
today.
pitch to one wrong dude. You know, if there's somebody to make a bad pitch to, don't make it that guy. Vladdy's probably the wrong guy we
Yeah.
want to hang a slider
Yeah.
to in the middle of the plate.
Yeah, give Cavanaugh a hanging slider.
Yeah, you know, pretty much. I mean, Kirk, I'll even give
Yeah,
Bo a hanging
you're
slider
like
over Vladdy.
anyone.
You know, like, you know, Bo's still pretty good. He's probably gonna hit it out, and Bo had a home run this series, but. I think Logan Gilbert is a dark horse Cy Young candidate. I don't know if there's enough national attention on the Mariners right now to get him to that point. But if the Mariners start winning and you know they're there at the end of the season and you're like, oh, these guys are gonna win the West, I think Logan Gilbert's gonna be right there in the Cy Young conversation. And he may not win it. There's a lot of really, really good arms, but I mean you guys got Gausman who's gonna be a perennial Cy Young candidate, despite the fact that he got his titties licked by the Yankees. I just felt like I should remind you of that.
This is one
Six
thing
runs in the
where
first, no.
I do draw parallels again between the Jays and the Mariners, and that they're both very lucky to have four guys in that rotation that when you need them to take the ball and run with it, they are capable of doing so. I know Bryce Miller's been impressive for a young guy. He's still got some growth to go.
And that's our four guy.
He's a pretty solid number four, if you ask me. But then this is where I draw the comparison, because honestly, Berríos, Bassett, and Gausman, and then Gilbert, Kirby, and Castillo, they're all probably 1A guys right now. And I say that with love, and I say that knowing that there is a higher ceiling for almost all of them. But that's kind of where they've been in the Major League Baseball rankings as a starting pitcher. You know, like they'll see that top 10 starters. Like when there's a top 10 starter list, Kevin Gausman's in it. He's just like number eight, right? Like he doesn't get that, like he doesn't get that Spencer Strider respect, which you know, he's also not Spencer Strider, but the fact that the Mariners and the Jays have those three horses at the front, I think it really does relieve the pressure for guys like a Logan Gilbert. I honestly believe has really benefited from not needing to deal with the pressure as a young guy coming up, right? Like the pressure is on Castillo, brilliant going out and get him. I mean, you move 2021 Cy Young winner Robbie Ray this offseason. I mean,
you couldn't fit him in you couldn't fit him into the rotation.
They're swimming in good pitching, which is not something that happens.
It's so envious. And, you know, we sat there all offseason and said, what are we going to do with Marco Gonzalez? What are we going to do with Robbie Ray? They don't fit in. They're gone. They just were salary dumps, essentially. And even then, you know, you got Brian Wu fifth when he's healthy, and you got Emerson Hancock, who was a first-round pick in, I believe, 2020 or 2021 with incredible high upside, you know, top 100 prospect. And the only reason he's in the rotation right now is because he got an arm down. So it's a good problem to have. It's a great problem to have. I love that it's homegrown. I love that they had the wherewithal to go and say, hey, we still need a veteran and a workhorse like Luis Castillo. Let's go bring him in. And then that trade has worked out stupendously. You know, I know that the start of this season has not been great.
How concerned are you about Luis Castillo right now, though? Are you worried, or do you feel like his track record and his career numbers are at the point now, his age is at the point where this is just a blip on the radar and he'll be fine?
I think he's earned the benefit of the doubt. It's a little too soon to get too worried. But, you know, there's pause there. And
he
mean,
had
like,
some shaky starts last year, too.
He did, and it was like towards the back of the end of the year too. So you wonder if there's maybe a health concern that they're not aware of, or he's not saying, or what the issue is. But let's give him two more starts. Let's see if we can get a good one in the next two before I go and write him off, because he does have that track record. He's not a kid. It wasn't a flash in the pan. Yeah. You know, he's been good since he came up in Cincinnati. So gotta give him the benefit of the doubt. And at the end of the day, the last two seasons that he pitched for the Mariners, he did, for the most part, incredibly well. His season numbers were really good. And you look what the Reds got on the other side. The kid's suspended for half a season now due to PEDs. So, you know, tough to say.
When it comes to George Kirby, I feel like the sky is the limit for the guy. The Jays got to both Castillo and Kirby, though. Is Kirby just still at the point where he's figuring out how to pitch situationally?
Yeah, it's tricky to say. I think you might be right, honestly. I was high on Kirby, and I thought Kirby was going to be the ace of the staff this year, if I'm being completely honest. There is potentially something to look at strategically about how many walks he issues and how around the zone he constantly is. Like, the guy doesn't walk anybody. You know, I think he had like maybe 20 walks and stayed healthy all last season. Guy just doesn't issue free passes. And which in theory is a good thing, but then you're like, oh, maybe this guy's not getting enough, you know, swing and miss in his stuff, because these are professional hitters, man. If you put it around the plate where they can reach it, even though it's a good pitch, that's not guaranteed not to hurt you. Right. So if you're constantly living in the zone, maybe it's resulting in Kirby having to pay some days when he runs into a good hitting team like the Blue Jays or the Rangers or the Yankees. You know, I haven't dived into the numbers, but I think there's a strategic issue there potentially with how many free walks he's given. It's a very low number, and I'm worried that he's just too around the zone. is resulting in more hits and long balls.
Walks kill you.
Walks will kill you. Walks will kill you. And like, he's not giving them up, but I mean, there has to be a balance.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I understand not giving free base runners, but, you know, if you're constantly in the strike zone as a hitter, I'm thinking this guy is not going to throw anything out of the strike zone. Let me just take three daddy hacks and see what happens. You know,
and this is where this is kind of what I meant to when I said, does he still need to learn to pitch a little bit? Because like you just said, there are areas where a strategic walk or pitching around a guy is not a bad move, right? Like,
totally.
I gave this example earlier this morning when we were kind of wound up into a similar conversation on the podcast and just the Yankees, right? Like, if you give up with two outs, a double to Juan Soto, and then you're facing Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo is the guy who's coming up next, and you got the guy on the mound just pitches better against lefties. Aaron Judge is a killer. Maybe it's just trust your stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pitch around him or just put him on and go to it, right? Like,
yeah. I mean, the scenario that you broke down, Aaron Judge is not even seeing a pitch, just throw down a first base at that
Yeah.
point. But you're right. That is
I mean, that was an extreme example, but you know what I'm saying,
totally,
right? Like,
there's
times to pitch around a guy where strategically that is the move. And I think this is where sometimes FIP drives me nuts a little bit, right? Like, ERA, I understand that there is a lot of luck and stuff that comes into it. And like, sometimes an ERA is really good that maybe shouldn't be, or vice versa. But like, FIP doesn't like take into account the strategy of like, okay, we're just going to pitch around this guy this time, right?
Right. And like, we saw that today. I mean, today is a perfect example where they pitched around Danny Burgers, or boy, to get to Ernie, right? And it's not to say that's not a knock on Ernie, and it's not, I think he's hitting like 280, you know, like he's off to a good start, especially as this kid that's just coming up and wasn't even expected to really break camp, I don't think.
No, he wasn't.
But you're like, okay, let's not give in to this guy that's a proven commodity that's been in this situation for years and years and years. Let's go after that rookie and say, here's a Munoz slider at 91 miles an hour. Go beat us. And if he beats you, you tip your cap and say, hey, great job, kid. That's fine, right? And that will happen. But, I mean, why would you not want to go and go against, you know, the less proven commodity?
No, couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more, man. How are you feeling about the Mariners coming out of this series?
Still concerned, man. You know, you love to end it on a high note like we did, but the team doesn't look good. I think we're like 5-8 now. You know, we're not hitting whatsoever. And the pitching is not, you know, the pitching has to be so good. The pitching has to be Logan Gilbert like he was today for them to get a win. And that's not sustainable. You can't rely on that, hang your hat on that, but I mean, I don't feel great, but you know, it's early. It's not too late.
Yeah.
At least we're, you know, only 3 games under 500 at this point in the season. There's still plenty of time, and there's no reason to think that the roster won't turn it around. I don't know. How do you feel? Are you feeling?
So, grounds crew members watching this right now, feel free to drop a comment below here. Maybe we'll get to this in mailbag. We are releasing this on both channels, by the way. Juan Forno of the Walk Off Mariners, Scott Belford here, the flagship Walk Off. Most of you are aware. Blue Jays fans, I don't think that this series did much to quell my worries about this team. I did like that they showed up against Castillo and against Kirby, two incredible pitchers. We just talked about that, right? They got their hits. They drove in runs in scoring position, something that they did so poorly in 2023. I mean, to the point where you almost have to chalk it up to a bit of a statistical anomaly, right? Like, kind of like the Orioles being the best hitting team with runners in scoring position. Like, at some point, it's just, I'm not saying clutch doesn't exist, but I don't think it exists to the extreme that was the Jays and the Orioles last year. So it is nice to see that monkey off the back a little bit, and seeing guys like Justin Turner, who had a hell of a series, this Mariners Jays series, going 5 for 10, driving in some runs, always a difficult at bat too. And that's one thing that I think that he added to this Blue Jays lineup. Yeah. Just an ability to take a pitch. Wait for
Yeah,
his.
no, and there's a reason he's had the career he has, and he's still sticking around until, 38, 39 years of age. Boy, can him, man. I got 5 minutes. I don't know if you want to make a big announcement.
Yeah,
Now
I
is the
love that.
time.
I love that. So, I'll end with this, just the idea that 6-7 on the season for the Jays, not great. It is early. It's April 10th. I'm trying not to jump off the deep end. There are a lot of similarities to this team that they ran back again to last year's teams. Like the Achilles heels are the same, right? The weaknesses are the same. But yeah, today sucked, right? Like today sucked. Had they managed to pull something off in the ninth, I think that would have been a big building block. But honestly, again, I really do think that this team's starting to show some confidence in themselves, which is massive. Confidence is everything when you're going into the batter's box or taking the mound. So the Jays pitching really showed up with Berríos, Bassett, and Kikuchi. All three of them had phenomenal games. All three of them went into the seventh inning minimum. Like all of them were great. So
Mariners offense will make a rotation look good.
that's right, just like the Blue Jays will. So that's kind of where we're at. Everyone in YouTube, feel free to drop a comment with how you're feeling about the Mariners and the Blue Jays. Again, we will tackle that in mailbag. And then, yeah, before you take off, let's make an announcement here. So the next walk-off Subway Series is going to be in Seattle, July 5, 6, 7. And some of you in Toronto are already aware that I ran a live podcast there last year called Baseball Town. In September, we had Davis Schneider and Jay Jackson of the Blue Jays down. Some of the Blue Jays content creators, our favorite Blue Jays content creators, including Blake Murphy from Sportsnet. It was an awesome show. So what we decided, Juan running the Mariners walk off, we're like, let's do a collab. Let's do a collab live podcast, just a big celebration of baseball in Seattle. So that's what we're going to do. We'll let everyone know more as we kind of get this thing together, but we've got the venue figured out. And I think, fingers crossed, we've got our guest confirmed. This is a gentleman currently playing. Well, I'm not going to announce his name quite yet, but
Or what team?
or what team? Well, I'm going to say what team. He's currently playing on. People will figure this out. He's a friend of the
For sure.
show. So, he plays for the Seattle Mariners currently. He was with the Toronto Blue Jays, started in the bullpen there, friend of the walk-off, but he's going to come down, fingers crossed that he's still healthy and all that good stuff, and be one of the guests. We're going to have a bunch of different podcasters, media people. We're going to have a big Blue Jays Mariners rivalry, love fest, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a ton of fun. We'll let you know about tickets here as we get a little bit closer to things. I know we will let you know about early bird tickets, but yeah, get excited, folks. We're going to have a
Yes.
hell of a collab here.
Super excited to do this with you guys and super excited to get to sit down and talk to all the people that we're planning on sitting down and talking with, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's a celebration of baseball. It's a celebration of the walk-off. Getting to collab and getting to converge with all those Canadians down from
Yeah.
Vancouver and Calgary in
Honestly, though, Juan,
Seattle.
like this is what I love so much about the walk-off Mariners and you taking the helm there is that if there are two teams that are loved in Canada, it is the Mariners and it is the Blue Jays, right? Like
There's two teams.
BC loves the Mariners, and
Oh, yeah.
the amount of Blue Jays fans in BC that cross the border and come down and invade
Take over Seattle.
T-Mobile, just about called a Safeco. Boy, oh boy. Sounding old here, right? Don't want to
Deep
mess
cut.
those up. Yeah.
Hey,
It'll always be
me and you both, Marilyn. Me and
Safeco
you both, man.
to
No, we're gonna have fun. We're gonna plan for the tickets to go on sale probably March or May 1st for early bird. So keep an eye out on that. And yeah, we look forward to it, man. It's gonna be real fun. I'm doing what I can to actually get the big unit Randy Johnson there. I think that's gonna happen. Yeah, man. Keep an eye out for that. I know Scott will plug it, I'll plug it. We'll make sure we're running ads in Vancouver and in the Seattle area, and we're gonna have a great time. So
It'll be a lot of fun. All right, Juan, thank you so much for taking time to doing a quick little walk-off Subway Series breakdown here with me. Looking forward to the next time that you can join us and take care, everybody. Cheers.
see you Sunday.